So that I wouldn't have to go up there. So thankful for that. So that we can all be with you all today. So thank the Lord for that. It's been a wonderful weekend. If I'm correct, I think we've already heard 7 ministers Friday night and Saturday. All bearing different gifts, all bearing different texts, but all bearing the same subject matter. And that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As I stand before you today, I would ask an interest in your prayers, not only for me, but that you may pray one for another. You know, Brother Jim Smith said something yesterday, it's kind of been on my mind, and can't remember whether he put it in the form of a question or put it in the form of two different ways that God's children look at what God has done for them. Either God saved you or you saved yourself. It's basically how he boiled it down. And while we may think that is a no-brainer, I guess it's much on my mind today. Because it's not a no-brainer, but it's a revelation. It's something that God reveals to his children. And if he doesn't reveal it, then you're not going to know. You're not really going to know truly what's happened to you and what has been done for you and what he continues to do for you as an individual. You know, we heard about the power of God. We've heard about the love of God. But so many of God's children comprehend those things differently. I remember years ago, I think it was the three of us, I think it was you, Brother Stan, and myself. we're having this conversation, and the thought that everybody that came under into an old Baptist church thought the same, understood the same, believed the same, and grasped everything the same. I think we finally came to the conclusion that, regardless of what we might think, that there's always a possibility that some little lamb just didn't get it, or that some little lamb didn't have it revealed to them in a way that they truly understood. So my prayer this morning is the same prayer that Paul had in Romans 10.
Yeah.
And what I want to do is read three passages of scripture for you. And the first passage comes from a couple of verses from Psalm 14. You know, let me just say this, because I remember talking to a little lamb once of a different denomination, and they were talking about the Apostle Paul. And they describe the Apostle Paul as being a chauvinist. I don't think they realized that that word didn't come along until much later. But in doing so, they dismissed a lot of what he would say in way of practice and how the Church of God should behave itself. And if any of us would minimize any portion of Scripture so that it might fit our own natural understanding or our own natural beliefs, then you're going to find yourself probably unknowingly not to be able to reap the full benefits of the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." And in Romans 3, a passage that we're all familiar with, but I don't care how many times we hear it. It's always healthy to hear it just one more time. Romans 3, verse 10. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is as an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of vats is under their lips, whose mouths is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace ye are saved. Now, go back to Brother Jim's question, or his statement yesterday. You know, when we think about it, when we think about the doctrines of grace, you know, old Baptists believe in the depravity of man. You're in a state that you cannot recover from. That state is just like being dead. In the sense you have, you're bent, inclined to sin. By nature, sin is your companion. You have no desire to do those things that will be pleasing to God. In fact, you have no desire to serve God. That's what being depraved is all about. So if you think about Brother Jim's statement yesterday, who in that state think that they're able to recover themselves from that state? I think Brother Jimmy spoke something about the grave, being in the grave. To recover from that state is likened to someone who's able to bring themselves out of the tombs. Bring themselves out of death itself. So for a little child to be blessed, I think, to understand that when God says that it is he who has quickened you, I look at that to say that, Brother John, you have been quickened by the power of Almighty God. We need to pray that we're removed from that thought of the Word of God is about everybody else. And to understand that the Word of God is about me. It is about the love that he had for me. It is about the depraved state that I was in. It was about a state that I was in that I could not recover from myself. Not only could I not recover, I had no desire to recover from that state. Now, so for me to sit here and stand here to say that, well, you know, Jesus didn't do all that was necessary to recover me from that state. So I need to be able to do something to help him out. Now, that sounds foolish, doesn't it? But there's a little child of grace.
Yes, it is.
Who thinks that Jesus needs their help, mainly because they don't truly understand the depths of the state that they're in. You see, if I think that I'm just partially dead, or I'm just partially depraved, then my natural mind thinks that there's something in me that is able to recover at least part of the way. So that if Jesus didn't do it all, maybe that little bit in me that's not totally corrupt is able to reach out and give Jesus a hand so that I can have a hope of being in heaven. Now that may sound foolish to you, but if you read Romans, if you read the Psalms, that has been man's condition since the fall. Since Adam transgressed, we have been in a depraved state. But God's little children, brethren, when they come under the hearing of a different gospel, they're led to believe that somehow, because man has all these abilities to do natural things, that somehow man can take these natural tendencies to recover themselves from a spiritual state of depravity, which they cannot do. So my prayer for all of us as we're sitting here today and all weekend and all that we've heard this weekend is that if God has not revealed that to you, then he would. Because we gather, brethren, with that hope that in the hearing and preaching of the gospel that we would be lifted up into those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Because we realize by the grace of God who we are. We realize by the grace of God what we have been recovered from. Without that realization, brethren, that abundant life, that joy unspeakable, you're going to miss out on. Now that does not mean that you're not going to sit there with some sense of being content. Because part of you, that inner man, realizes what the Lord has done. Now while that old nature might keep drawing you into the state of seeking to heap upon yourself some kind of self-righteousness, that's the part, brethren, that hinders us from enjoying the fullness of that good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that we would enjoy it in its fullness. It would sadden me, brethren, to have some little lamb who would venture into an old Baptist church and come under the hearing of the gospel and to go away somehow feeling some sort of self-righteousness of their own and look at what I've done. I was good enough that I even came to a meeting today. So I should get a star for my efforts. If you're here, you're only here by the grace of God. You see, it's that spirit that's within you that witnesses with the spirit of God and gives you that unction, gives you that desire, gives you that want to go out to the house of God, to worship with the saints, and to hear about the good things that the Lord has done for you. To come under that hearing, brethren, of that of how depraved I really was. And knowing that if it wasn't from the grace of Almighty God, I would still be in that state. Seeking to do those things that are pleasing to this old natural flesh of ours. Having no desire at all for the things of God. And so when God says that there's none righteous, no, not one, as somehow we're sitting there feeling like, well, it bothers me because I don't think I'm that bad, or I don't think I'm bad as the guy over there. Whatever might be going through your head, if you're sitting there with that thought, you've totally missed it. You've totally lacked an understanding as to who you are. You know, I've heard some people say that old Baptists are crazy because they like to be called sinners. Something's wrong with those people. Who wants to be called a sinner? Something's really got to be wrong with you. In the eyes of the world, yes, there is something wrong with us. We're peculiar. We don't fit. We don't fit in the world's model. And for the most part, we don't fit in any model that the majority of God's children would like to see themselves in. And that's why the Apostle Paul was moved in Romans 10, because he could see, and we can see. I don't care what denomination you go into, you're going to see some of God's children there. Amen. And you're going to see them rejoice in the goodness of God. You're going to see that. But you go into the other church, you're going to go into other church and you see God's little children. Sister Glasgow, we'll break to this because we were at church like that. You're going to see God's little children walking around like peacocks. Look at me, or, you know, look at who I am. And don't ever think that you can't be like that. But that's the difference, brethren, in thinking that there's some righteousness that I have in me. That some little lamb sitting there praying, that they're doing the whole meeting praying, that the Lord will be merciful to them. Thanking the Lord for how he has blessed them throughout the week and enabled them just to come here one more time in the house of God. That's why those little lambs are able to endure that unsound doctrine. It ain't about the doctrine to them. It's about what God has done. It is about what the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered them from. It's about all that tribulation, all those trials that they have endured in life, and they realize that they have been delivered those things from those things by the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're sitting here, they're praying, they're giving thanks to Almighty God, forgetting about all the foolishness that's being said about him, because they realize that they have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by no effort of their own, but by the grace of God. Yes, God has little children sitting in places that believe exactly what you believe. But they're not fed with the true gospel because they don't hear what you're blessed to hear when you come to this house. You know, since Friday night we've been here, being blessed to rejoice in the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. And we marvel, we wonder, you know, see, because part of Brother John feels like when I leave this place and I go out into the world, it's like that old depraved nature is running after me. It's chasing me. It's calling me back to do those things that this old depraved nature wants to do. And imagine a God who would just simply leave us in that depraved state. He would be just and righteous to do so. But yet, it was his good pleasure to love a people. When you realize how depraved you were, then you somehow began to, you'll never be able to comprehend it in its fullness, but you somehow begin to realize the magnitude and the fullness of the love that God has for you. Because I tell you, if you came around me acting the way that I know that I could act, I wouldn't want to be around you. You know? So when you think about that, when you think about a God whose love is so great that he purposed to have a number that no man can number, in spite of what we read that the psalmist says about us, that the fool have said it, that there is no God, in spite of the fact that we had no desire to see God, that he loved us in spite of us. You know, brethren, we had heard that saying. I said, somebody else said something. Well, you don't have a nickel in that dime, or you don't have a nickel in your salvation. Put it to you that way. You didn't pay anything for it.
No.
Nothing at all. No. You had nothing at all to give. Nothing at all to offer. Not only that, you had no desire to offer anything. So when you hear a little child of grace says, you know, if I had a choice, I'd choose Christ. Yeah, right. Don't do that. But instead, pray that the Lord of all mercy would reveal to that little lamb who they are and how much they've been loved. And the price that was paid on Calvary's cross to redeem them unto the Father. When you think about him who came from glory, he who was not sin at all, becoming sin, that just blows my mind. I can't even begin to comprehend what that means. that he would become sin itself.
Amen.
And he didn't become sin himself for himself. He became sin for you and for all of those that God gave to him in the covenant. But you see, when God's little children have no understanding as to what sin is anyway, when they say that, oh, well, God did all of that just because he ate of the fruit, the tree. Well, it didn't seem like it was that bad. Yes, I've heard that come out of God's little children's mouths. It's because of their lack of understanding, brother. You know, we think about people being ignorant of God's works and his righteousness. I like to look at it this way. Except by the grace of God, that alive. You see, brethren, that which we understand has been given to us by a merciful God. We didn't go out and get it ourselves. We didn't go out and earn it. We didn't labor for it. It's just simply yet. God, open your eyes and bless you with an understanding as to what he has done for you and who you are. And when he does it, brethren, then we do rejoice. You see, the world can call me what they want to call me. The world has done nothing for me. The world can call me peculiar. They can call me all kinds of things. They can call me bipolar. They can call me whatever they want to call me. I don't care what they call me. But I tell you, brethren, I had this conversation with Crystal. She's probably online. Today is her birthday, by the way. We were talking about diagnoses. And I says, haven't you ever heard your granddad talk about that? If you want to go to a if you want to get a diagnosis for yourself, go to a counselor or a psychologist, any one of those people, and tell them what you really believe. And they will take out their DSM. And they will come out with a plan for you as to how you can fix yourself. You see, they don't understand depraved nature. They don't understand that at all. They think you have the ability to fix whatever's wrong with you. And if you need help, I'll give you a pill to help you along. And with the pill, and with this little outline, you can fix yourself, bro. you can fix yourself. Brother John speaks that from experience, you see, because I went to school. I wanted to know all about people, so I got a degree in psychology. You know?
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? let me get my book out. And I was going to pursue that until I felt the Lord blessed me to see how foolish it was. Now, if any of you all had the profession, you know, Brother John I'll pray for you. And I know the natural man thinks it's great. The natural mind thinks that's the greatest thing ever. Oh, yes, I want to fix myself. Give me all these things to fix myself. And by nature, they think they're doing that. But by nature also, they never come to a realization of what's really truly going on. So it does trouble me when I hear some little lamb says, well, we're going to go see it. Do it. Pray. Pray. Go to him who's able. And there's only one that is able to deliver you from every trial and every circumstance of life. Only one. And his deliverances comes without side effects. Well, I'll take that back. The side effect that you get is peace, joy, and happiness in the Holy Ghost. That's the side effect that you get when you go to the great physician with your problems. And then... in closing this morning, I guess I would just like to reiterate the goodness of the Lord our God. I could stand here forever and never be able to fully expound upon His greatness, His goodness, and His faithfulness to His children, to us, as we journey in this world. So pray for me, pray for one another. And if you're sitting there with any doubt at all as to, am I being self-righteous? Do I somehow believe that I did something to earn my place or to earn God's satisfaction? I'm praying for you. But what I want you to do is to cry out to the Lord our God that He might deliver you from whatever uncertainty you might have. Be just like the example that we give in the New Testament scriptures when the father asked the Lord to heal his child. And the Lord says, if thou would believe. And the father says, with tears in his eyes, he says, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Let us do that to his praise. Let us do that to his glory. Blessed be his name.
Someone had a number. 228.